broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, Bat Lao. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and empowering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, good evening, Lottie Dottie and everybody. I want a hearty hello out to all you folks out there, and a great big shout out to all you MAGA patriots, maybe in an honor too. And of course, let's not forget those on the road, folks. I want to welcome you here to Wednesday night broadcast. We're here on Leander Grace Out Loud. We're talking holistic truth, all of it. And I am your host, Leander Grace. It's March 24th. Oh, pardon me. It's March 31st. It's a whole week later. Look at that. It is March 31st. Almost done. Almost ready for tomorrow, April 1st, April Fool's Day. I wonder what may new things be going on. So it's March 31st, 2021, and we are broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. Our goal today, as it is every day, is to help relieve suffering through empowerment by shining our light on and getting to the holistic truth. It's good to be back with you guys here on the air. Almost didn't get here. We had a little bit of a smoky issue. Got some brisket in the oven. Got a smoking thing happening and had to clear that out. So I was a little bit late to the air, but we're here nonetheless. And it is a very exciting time. Aside from all the smoke in the kitchen there, we had to get at. It's a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake. And about the business of this one thing, guys, for those of you just joining us here for the first time, let's define the term holistic truth. Just as holistic medicine refers to the viewing, treating, and healing of the human body through the mind, body, and spirit, holistic truth refers to the viewing, treating, and healing of the human experience through empathy, compassion, and ultimately forgiveness. We're going to talk about it all, folks, the physical and the metaphysical, the scriptural and the secular, the historical, hysterical, politically mundane, and we're going to blow up some non sequiturs, guys. We're going to be talking about Freemasonry tonight. We're going to talk about the oaths that bind them. We're going to do a little bit of a peek preview. I had some document I wanted to pull up, and I couldn't find it for the night's broadcast, but we're going to guide. I remember what it says, and I know who wrote it, and we'll be going on from there, guys. So remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, question everything. We are not part of the legacy media. I do not expect you to take me at my word. It's not my place to convince you. I'm just here to spread the light. So as this great awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth, guys, let's continue to hold this space of peace, love, and grace and stand in solidarity with the patriots worldwide. Because where we go one, we go all, and it is a worldwide effort, folks. Worldwide effort. What's the worldwide effort for? I thought we were America first, Miss Leander Grace, and I'm saying to you, yes, it is America first, and there is a worldwide interest in us pulling our heads out of our buttocks and getting some air and focusing on what is in plain sight. Guys, we're going to talk about Freemasonry tonight. And I'll tell you, I'm a little bit nervous because what I'll be talking about is going to be a little bit personal. I'm going to talk a little bit about my grandfather. Now, my grandfather, I don't usually talk about my family. He's passed on. He was a noble man in my eyes. And just to kind of put into context the view that I have of my grandfather, he was a hero, still is, still setting an example for me as I think about him from day to day. But my grandfather was the most worshipful grandmaster of the state of Washington. So he was pretty up there in the high grand poompa things up in the lodge. The most worshipful grand master of the state of Washington. That was his title to me. He was grandpa. Now, there was a lot of things that went on being raised up next to a Freemason. A lot of things that occurred, especially since I was in the middle of a Baptist church and my grandfather was in the middle of a Masonic lodge. But I learned a lot of things, and dare I say, so did my grandfather. Now I'm going to start this way, and then I'm going to move into some of the treachery. My grandfather was a noble man. He was a wise man. He was called a gentle giant, and his nickname was Thor. And he was a decent fella. He didn't speak a whole lot unless he had something interesting to say. And every time Grandpa had something to say, I thought it was pretty interesting. Learned how to play chess, learned how to do all these things. And then I learned things, what I call, I learned things peripherally, just by being around it. I learned how to ballroom dance at a lodge event with my grandparents. So there was a lot of things that were going on, a lot of things that I was exposed to. Nothing in my grandfather's world that I was exposed to was untoward. There was nothing going on that I saw that would lead me to believe that Grandpa had any ties to anything that was dark. And my grandpa is my hero. And he was the most worshipful grandmaster of the state of Washington. How do we reconcile this? Well, my grandfather liked to teach me things, and he would drop hints, not unlike the Da Vinci Code, when, you know, you say the dropping hints to the next generation, whatever. You know, my grandfather never broke an oath, but he informed me of a lot of things. Now, the split that I had, now I'm just going to go through some of my workings and see if this helps you out, because I had to come to terms with a lot of things before I could come on the broadcast, because, you know, there are family members that may be listening and I may insult them, and that may happen. So my grandfather, who is a hero and was a lodge master, withdrew from the lodge after he was offered another station. And I'll leave that where that is. My grandfather told me that there were only 3 degrees in Freemasonry. And anything else was something else. And he told me that for a reason. And the reason he told me that, I had no idea of until I became a much older adult and looking for answers about things that were going on. And there was a reason that he stepped out of the lodge. And there was a big to-do at my grandfather's death, because nobody in the lodge was standing up to help my grandfather or the family. Neither were those from the Eastern Star, to which my grandmother belonged. What the majority of the members of my family didn't know was my grandfather had stepped out of the lodge some years ago, because my grandfather became informed with his next invitation past being the most worshipful grandmaster of the state of Washington. There's the history of the lodge, as my grandfather pointed out, and there's more to it than what I'm going to start with, was, you know, as we know it, historically, there was a war going on between the Anglican churches and the Vatican, the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church. And they wanted their buildings built, but the only ones that were able to be employed were you couldn't work on the Anglican Church if you weren't a member of the Anglican Church, and you couldn't build the Roman Catholic Church if you weren't a member of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, remember, we were coming out of the Dark Ages, and a large part of our history has been obscured during those dark ages, during that social reset, if we might use that term, the dark ages, where we forgot most of our history and the science that we knew before the dark ages. And what brought Europe out of the dark ages was an infiltration of Chaldean wisdom. I'm just going to put it the way it is. The Moors came over with their Chaldean teachings and brought it over here and taught Masons how to build the way they built them over there, so to speak. The mathematics, the architecture, the plumbing of it, the way to lay it. And there was a lot of ceremony that went on at first because, you know, this was a great big deal. The free and accepted Masons were actually created, according to the mythos, was created so that those who were Masons could work, did not have to belong to either the Roman Catholic Church or the English Anglican Church, but could still be gainfully employed as architects and Masons and builders on their large architectural projects. So they did not have to take oath to the church. But because their secrets were so valuable, their building secrets are so valuable, that there was an oath among the guild, Freemasonry Guild, to not divulge the secrets. And that was the plain and simple of it. And then the mythos grew that included Hiram Abiff, the widow's son, and included all, you know, the master masons in order for them to know who they were and who knew what level. They used handshakes. And the reason that they used handshakes is because the lower level masons didn't need to know the great big secrets that the upper level masons needed to know. And they had to go through all of the stuff, and then they were taught the secret handshakes. Yes, they were. And then there was an infiltration immediately. In about 1717, I believe it was, at the Goose and the Gridiron, they had the first meeting of the Masonic Lodge in England, and it grew from there. A brotherhood grew from there. The brotherhood did not grow. The brotherhood grew after the Free and Accepted Masons were building. So the brotherhood became afterwards. Now, in this brotherhood, as the infiltration began and the Illuminati infiltrated the Freemasons, the oaths that the Freemasons used bound them together in silence, not unlike the oath that was taken at Mount Hermon. Not unlike the oath that was taken at Mount Hermon with the fallen angels, binding themselves together under oath, so where they, when one fell, they would all fall. They would all split the stuff. Now, some of the rules, once it became infiltrated and became dark and became very metaphysical, you know, the line of the lodge is that they don't take men and make them, take bad men and make them into good men. They take good men and make them better. That was the line that sold to a lot of the Freemasons. As my grandfather got farther in the lodge, what I understood to happen as he dropped me hints and clues is that the hoodwinking of the underlings becomes very apparent. And so even the lodge members themselves now, when they enter the lodge, they enter under a false pretense. And as they get deeper and deeper into the lodge and more is revealed, they are still bound together by their oaths. And they still give homage to a great architect. Now understand, folks, by the time my grandfather didn't just wake up one day and get into the lodge and he was the Grand Master of the State of Washington, he went through the librarian and all that other stuff and the position of a librarian. And that's where some of the writings that I was able to read that became publicized. They weren't secret writings. There were no oaths broken. And I say that because my grandfather was an honorable man. He got the information out without breaking an oath. So the oaths, one of the tenets of Freemasonry is, you know, the questions that they ask at the different levels. One of the questions that they ask the initiates that come in is that, you know, where is the key? And the key is in the mouth, and it should never hang in the balance against its brother. So the tongue is the key, and it should never hang in the balance against its brother. So something that was very distinctive and in theory created for industry and for prosperity and for the building up of things was immediately infiltrated and began to be a brotherhood of secrecy, not necessarily intended in the way that it became, and a method of controlling those members. They don't speak against each other at all. At all, under any circumstances, for any reason, will a Mason in public take another Mason to task in the legal system at all. They will not testify against each other. They will, and if they hear that their brother is in danger for any reason, by oath, they are bound by oath to inform that brother. Now, my grandfather was also a police officer, and he was very well respected. And, you know, one of his chases ended in an accident, and he was medically retired from the force. And that was his entry into Freemasonry after that, many years ago. And then the Fraternal Order of Police sprung up, which has its roots in Freemasonry. And again, the oath is to not speak against your brother. You don't testify against your brother. You don't let information out against your brother. You protect your brother in the lodge. My grandfather had a brother in the lodge, and I got to meet him. And now I understand why my grandfather left the lodge. So the split is the good people that are in the lodge and the nefarious focus of what has become the Illuminati control over the lodge, the infiltration, and it has become something else. Under the guise of Freemasonry, an evil has sprung up. And the reason it was able to spring up is because they've bound their oaths themselves into oaths of secrecy. So even if something untoward does occur, by their oath, they are bound to secrecy. Case in point, one of the most famous cases, it's lasted through the generation, is that of Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper left a lot of clues about who he was, but only the lodge members would be able to figure it out. So everyone in the lodge knew that Jack the Ripper was a lodge member because of the clues that he left, but not a one dared speak out against him. That is the danger of secrecy. That is the danger of silence. It will not protect you. The silence builds a trap, and the oath is a pain of death, horrible deaths. Now, how far are these Freemasons going to take their oath, and will they enforce it? And the answer is they'll take it all the way. A little unknown fact, or maybe it is known and just not spoken about very often, is that the Mormon Church was actually founded on Freemasonry mixed up with some other stuff. And Joseph Smith was a Freemason, and he released some of the secrets of Freemasonry, not just the building of it, but the rituals of it. And much of the Mormon ritualistic worship has a lot to do with the Freemasonry rituals as well. And since he did this, without permission from the lodge, and he released the secrets of the lodge to the general public, or at least his own gathering of ecclesia, his own personal ecclesia, it was the Freemasons that actually shot him. Now, the Mormons will tell the story that, you know, his last words were, "My Lord and my God." But his last words were, "My Lord and my God, is there no help for the widow's son?" And everyone that pulled the trigger that shot him had a Masonic ring on their finger. These are historical facts. They protect their secrets. They must under pain of death. And if we ever doubt that the Masons are serious about this, the more diabolical ones will kill them. They'll kill them. They have no problems with it. Which is what lays the perfect groundwork for the infiltration for the Illuminati to make it a ruthless brotherhood, whether it was established that way or not. My grandfather was under the belief that it wasn't, and it became something else. I believe he was informed. He was in the lodge for many, many years, went through all of the things, learned all of the stuff. He was the librarian for a very long time, so he knew the history. And the sad part of it is that it is a fraternal order that looks very nice on the outside, but when you get in, it is absolutely antithetical to the teachings of the scriptures. There's not a great architect. There is a creator of the universe. That's the only one there is. The great architect that the Freemasons are speaking about is somebody different. The great architect that the Freemasons are talking about is Baal, Nimrod, the sun god. The teachings of Freemasonry, according to the librarian, who was my grandfather at the time, was a librarian, that the knowledge of the building of Freemasonry can be traced back as old as time itself, according to the librarian. So this is, you know, when it's told to us that it's not a religion, but it is. It's a religious order. And what is amazing to me is that it is common knowledge in this nation that there is a secret society of organization called the Freemasons. And it is pretty common knowledge, although it's not spoken about, that the Freemasons are everywhere. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about that there are Freemasons on the judgeships and they dare not prosecute a brother. And you wonder why these people get away with things. If they have that handshake, if they belong to the order, they will be protected by the order. Now, not all of the Freemasons that are in the order are fully invested in the negativity of it, the Luciferian worship. It's basically Luciferian. And they're not all of them are clued in to the secrets and to what's actually going on. And more that they learn and people step out of the lodge, it becomes very, very difficult for them afterwards. I remember having the pages, the magazines laying around in the living room of my grandparent. You know, he'd get all the publications and stuff like that. And they have a magazine, it's called Freemasonry Today. But back in the 80s, it was still called the New Age magazine. The New Age magazine. Magazine of the New Age or something like that. So the New Age movement that has all this mystical stuff where you believe everybody and talk to everybody but God. And where, you know, if you just think right and you hold your chin right and you do this, that, and you have happy thoughts, everything will turn out right, which is absolutely a delusion. So Freemasonry, actually, the diabolicalness, they use the Freemasonry as a vehicle. So now we can say through Freemasonry, the Illuminati have totally trashed our justice system, totally trashed our medical system, totally trashed, you pick it, because they've infiltrated it with oaths of secrecy that bind even good people unawares into diabolical actions. And when they find out, they're not supposed to speak against the brother in public, but there is a justice system within the lodge. They handle it themselves. So if there is a Freemason who has broken the law, and it is to the point where the Freemasons believe that they need to come to justice, the Freemasons will hold their own trial and bring them to justice. And I've got a little bit of insight into that that we can share on the other side of the break. This is going to be an abbreviated broadcast, guys. I still have a little bit of smoke in the house, a little bit of things going on, but I wanted to bring this information because I think it's timely and I think it's poignant and I think it fits in to the things that we're seeing. So, Freemasons started out as a way to not sign up to all of the churches and still be able to be employed. The knowledge came to break through the Dark Ages from the East, from the Chaldeans, and brought this knowledge of Freemasonry and that. And then the ones that call themselves Illuminated, right? The Illuminati, the real Luciferian satanic killers that believe that they're above it all. You know, they infiltrated and used it. Now, there's a saying that there's a guy by the name of Albert Pike, and he was a 33-degree Mason. Now, understand that if there's 3 degrees in the lodge. Anything else, my grandfather says, is something else. And so we're dealing with something else, but we'll call it by the common name of Freemasonry. Albert Pike, back in 17-something-something, he made a plan, or he wrote out the plan, or he was the one that published the plan. And the plan was to set these different individuals at war to themselves until everybody is absolutely confused. So the World War One was going to be between these people. World War Two was going to be between these people. And of course, World War Three would be between the Christians and Islam. It's all been staged. They planned this. They're moving us into place to see if we'll fight each other. Well, I think we're past that. I don't think we're going to fight each other. I think that the Muslims, who are children of Abraham, right? Supposedly they come from Abraham, and the Jews from Abraham, and the Christians from Abraham, we're all children of Abraham. And I don't think any of us want to be played against each other anymore. I don't know. Back in 1963, before he was shot, JFK did a whole lecture on secret societies. He didn't call them out by the name of Freemasonry, but we all knew what secret societies were. And my grandfather did not like it. And I remember my grandfather having quite a bit of pride about how many politicians and important people of standing were in the lodge. And then there was the next step, and next thing you know, my grandfather's no longer talking about the lodge. So in my view, to me, and I may be in error, but I like to resolve this little thing, say, well, my grandfather saw the light and he stepped out, because everything that happened after that, that I know, is he probably separated himself from the lodge. That's my source of information, is my grandfather and the long talks that we would have about different things, and he would sideways put little statements in. And I remember when I was a very young child, I was 3 or 4. No, I had to have been older than that, 5 or 6. I have a long memory. He taught me the different handshakes that was in the lodge, because, you know, little kids aren't supposed to remember that. But I had a memory like a trap, and I remember all the details that he told me. All the details. So this wise man, my grandfather, who became the most worshipful Grand Master of the state of Washington, also stood as an example and showed me what Masonic justice looked like. Now, it wasn't intentional. It was just something that, by virtue of the circumstance, I actually had to see. And as I saw it play out, they have a justice system. It won't go to the courts. They won't embarrass each other. The problem is, and this was from my grandfather's mouth, who was an honorable man, he said, the problem is that when you're under an oath, you can't always stand up and say what's right. That actually came out of his mouth. It was not hype. It wasn't pointed. It wasn't anything else. It was just offhanded the way he gave me all the other information. So he was explaining to me some of the things that he went through in the lodge just by virtue of little statements like that. You say, well, Leander Grace, it sounds almost like you're defending the Masons. Well, you know, everything has been infiltrated. The Masons were infiltrated. Our church has been infiltrated. Our justice system's been infiltrated. Our government seats and our representatives have been infiltrated. And they must hold, under pain of death, they hold more regard for their oath to each other than the oath to the Constitution. They hold more regard to the oath to each other than their oath to their represent, the ones they're supposed to represent. So the adage of that Jesus told us, Yeshua brought to us, is that you can't serve two masters, comes into play. And we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. This is a very casual podcast, folks. It's just, I'm just putting information out there because it's necessary to have it out there in the conversation. This is, you know, it's not necessarily information that people start to think about. You know, I've heard, I'm going to talk about something on the other side that's going to be a little bit disturbing as well. I hear speaking different individuals that are pointing at Freemasonry and Freemasonry alone as a culprit. I'm not going to defend the lodge. I'm not going to defend the tenets of Freemasonry. But on the other side of the break, I am going to show us why we need to be cautious about doing an all-in-one basket blame-a-thon on one group of individuals at the risk of losing sight of the real culprits. We've seen it in every society, and I'm going to start going down the list of 1, 2, and 3 of where the Freemasons have left their mark and not necessarily in a good way. We're not supposed to talk about the Freemasons. We're supposed to get censored through it. This is the one thing that we're absolutely not supposed to bring up, and I'm talking about it. I don't have an oath. I came close to it, and we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. I am your host, Leanna Grace. As we go here, I look in the chat room, and look at all the folks we got there. We got some Joseph and Miriam and Pink Duck. I love that Pink Duck. I love it. And I am WAS. I don't know if I can read that out loud on air and decipher it at the same time. I'll read it and get back with you on that. But I want to welcome everybody to the chat room. We're taking a little peek at their oath that binds them, the Freemasonry, the infiltration of the Freemasonry, the habits, the pattern, and what we as a society may need to do to stand up against these forces. And it has become a force, an infiltrating force within our society. I am your host, Leanna Grace, reminding you that where we go one, we go all. So this is a big shout out to JT Wild, who made this wonderful piece of music for us. Where we go one, we go all. We're going to be back on the other side, guys. I hadn't looked in the chat room, and I didn't expect so many folks in there. So welcome. I was like, whoa, that's fun. So there you have it. We are scheduled for a 1-hour broadcast to go till 9 o'clock or a little bit after. We can go longer if you guys want to call in and add to the program, or we could just keep it to 1-hour broadcast. Either way, I'm good for that. I am your host, Leanna Grace. Let's listen to this. We'll be back on the other side. We're talking about free and accepted Masons and just a little peek at their oaths that bind. We'll be back.
They call us deplorable, and we love the name. They got the bodies in the dirt and need someone to blame. Got a penchant for greed and money to spare. They put the dollars in the coffers and the lies in the air. Well, we go one, we go all. I won't push you down, you won't let me fall. One day for sure we will stand tall. Where we go one, we go all. We are the patriots, trust the plan, because we have it all and the fate is in our hands. Had a reason to fool us, but we didn't take the bait. They want to take us to hell, but we got guns at the gate. Our knowledge is power, they're running for the hills. If the law don't get them, then we the people will. We go on.
lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. No, there's no protection in the silence. The silence of the secret society binds them in a chamber and a prison that they didn't know they were signing up for. The oaths of Freemasonry bind them under the pain of death, and they will execute those judgments if they feel it's necessary. Now, I told you guys before the break that when we came back, I was going to talk about Masonic justice, and I won't be telling tales out of school. I have permission to tell this story. There was a little girl, and her father was in the lodge as well. But her father was not honorable at all towards any of the family members. But, you know, he used his daughter in ways that a daughter shouldn't be used. And he was a member of the lodge. Now, in the lodge, if the justice system is full of brothers, there will be no justice for any of the victims. This little girl had no shot at any justice of any kind because of the brotherhood that surrounded her father. Well, I've got to tell you that I was very proud to say that it was my grandfather that picked up the phone and called the lodge and gave very specific instructions on how to dole out justice to this lodge brother that was several states away, states and states and states away, but my grandfather, because of his position, held weight. And he called the lodge and he informed the lodge of what was happening and he informed the lodge of what to do. And that gentleman lost his lodge. He was kicked out of the lodge and several other things happened. He was not put to death. He didn't break the oaths of the lodge. But he was hurting a child. And so for someone to say that Freemasonry supports child harming is not the truth. I watched the justice play out myself through my grandfather. But there are those within the lodge who do, as played out by this other gentleman who was hurting his own daughter. So there is a justice within the lodge, but only if just members are sitting in a place of leadership. And just like any institution that can become corrupted, you know, any other things. So let's back up. Was the Institute corrupt from the beginning? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe it was. Maybe it was completely geared from the very beginning to be something very evil and very wicked. I don't think so. I think its short-lived history is as I said it, but that history was very short-lived. Because anything the adversary can get its hands on, right? So the reason for the Masons to join this guild that was brought over from the East was so that they could be gainfully employed. Were the early Masons involved in this great architect hoodwinking, you know, Hiram Abiff stuff? Don't know. I don't have that much information, but what I do have from the librarian of the lodge, the gentleman, my grandfather, is that by the time you get to a certain level, you know that what you are doing is as old as the Tower of Babel. It goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel, the ties that bind and the oaths that bind them. So when we look out on the world stage today and we see that these, you know, and I've heard that, the Catholics say, the Catholic Church of the Vatican says, you know, nobody should be a Freemason in the Vatican. Well, they are. They are. There's Freemasons in the papacy, in the reverendship. There's Freemasons in every church. There's Freemasons in the Baptist church. When I was a child, I went and I knew some of them were lodge members. And so it took me a very long time because of my grandfather, because the other church members were lodge members. It took me a very long time to accept the fact, the darkness that is in the lodge. The darkness that is in the lodge. And it wasn't until after my grandfather was invited to the next level that he stepped out. Because at that point, the lights did go on and he could see the connections. And that also was when he began giving me more clues, saying things and asking questions, making me think, because he wanted me to know. Now, when I was a small child, I was about 12 years old, you know, I was going to be inducted into the Order of Rainbow for girls. And in my family, you know, it was kind of generational. You know, my aunt and mother were in their little Job's Daughters thingies and all of that. But I didn't complete it. I didn't complete the induction, and my grandparents put a halt to it for whatever reason. Well, I know the reason. It's absolutely immaterial to this broadcast. So I never did complete that. You know, I already knew the Lord as a child, going to church camp and stuff like that. So I think God saved me from taking an oath that, you know, that would haunt me, that would open a door that I didn't need to have open in my world. And there were a lot of church rescuings that were going on at that point through the lodges and stuff like that. So that's my personal knowledge of the lodge. I know that the members, when they join the lodge, they don't have, you know, the people that they were just like me, right? And the people that were surrounding my grandfather were just like my grandfather. But as my grandmother would say, anything that can be used well can be misused just as well. And so with this, just like a gang or the mafia, right, there's promise of fraternal order, you know, and brotherhood and camaraderie and yada yada and some of the other things that they get done. And because they are so widespread and they're in powerful positions, right, so understand that not everybody who is in the political scene and is a Mason has gone through the chairs. And that's one thing that I think my grandfather was trying to hint to me at, is that there are those who go through the chairs and get to the third degree. And then there are those who are welcomed in because of status and stature. And in his view, that watered down, you know, the teachings. So that was his view and his way of putting it. What do I think of the lodge now? I think it is absolutely diabolical, and everybody that says that they love the Lord should stay away from it. Everybody should stay away from it. It is an adversarial trap, and every lodge ends in a fez. Now, in the West, they use top hats because that's what they like, but eventually, it's going to go to a fez. Shriners. I know we got Shriners hospitals for children. They're still Shriners. Do they know where their loyalties are going? I don't know. Should we educate the lodge members on what's really going on in the lodges? I think so. Who can do it without breaking the oath and setting themselves up for a pain of death? Who's going to do it? My knowledge is limited. I mean, I seem to have a lot as I speak on the program, but actually my knowledge is very limited. I've been invited several times into the lodge. Oh, I'll stand up for you, or I'll do this. And it's like, for whatever reason, I kept getting diverted. And I thank God that I was, because my loyalty to my grandfather, he's a hero. You know, the loyalty to my grandfather might have led me astray. And it didn't. And as it turned out, at his passing, his lodge brother, Bird, the only thing that he cared about was the apron and the books. His regalia and his books. That was it. That was all they cared about, because he'd stepped out of the lodge a long time ago, but it wasn't until his death that they had the right to confiscate his lodge materials, because he was, after all, the most worshipful grandmaster of the state of Washington. So when we start painting a broad brush, and I guess maybe this is the point of the broadcast, you know, I came on kind of a little bit empty. Just because I didn't want to have a total lecture. I wanted to share my knowledge, not lecture on knowledge that can be found anywhere else. So I guess my point is, as we are painting broad brushes and going through cancel cultures, it's not, I don't believe that most of the lodge members at, at large, so to speak, I don't think they know what they're in for. I think that we need to educate the lodge members on a large scale, especially those who are going to church on Sunday and going to the lodge on Mondays. They may not be aware of what the rank is when you get higher up. And the oaths, they mean them. They're not just little oaths. And you can ask Joseph Smith and you can ask a couple of others. In fact, back in 18-something or another, I can't remember the exact date, 18-something or another, my grandfather was telling me that they actually, the United States came very, very close to banning Masonic practices on the continent. They were trying to get all of the lodge members out because they had seen some of the infiltration and the problems with the secret societies, with secret oaths. So, and it was with a little bit of pride pride and indignation that my grandfather relayed the story to me, because at that point he hadn't figured out the rest of the lodge. He was still in the fraternity, was still all about it. And when we sit forward and we say all Masons are bad, well, anytime you say all this is bad, that's like 4-year-old behavior. That's like always and never, because there's no life experience for context. But I was listening to a cardinal, and I this makes me kind of puckered a little bit. I was listening to a cardinal's video the other day, and it was the same cardinal, I believe, that wrote a letter to our president to tell him and warn him about the dangers of this great reset that was scheduled. And I heard this, I think it was the same one, and if it is, or maybe it was the archbishop, don't know his rank, it doesn't matter, this gentleman, it's the same gentleman. And what he was saying, in essence, was he blamed everything on the Masons. He blamed everything, it's all, it's the Freemasons this, the Freemasons that. And I want to tell you that we, first of all, we have to go to sleep and let them in. We have to be just as asleep as the rest of the bucket to let them in. The other thing is, it's not the Masons. It's the Illuminati, working through the Masons with all of their other clubs. The Masons are only a tiny portion, but they have in fact, the lodge numbers are slipping. They only have a tiny portion of the secret societies at large. They're just like a filter, okay, like a gathering place. So you have these. Everybody belongs to the lodge, and then they branch out into other things, but they're still bound by their oaths. Case in point, something I had, like I said, my grandfather was my hero. I emulated him. I used to walk like him. I tried to talk like him. I don't. And I would walk and enter the room like he did. Well, what I didn't know was there was a purposeful mechanic to the way he entered a room. And a Mason will enter the room exactly the same way, and they will stand exactly the same way with their feet in a certain position, all of these things. Well, I mimicked my grandfather all the time. And true story, in 1987, that dates me a little bit. Let me clear my throat. In 1987, I got pulled over by a police officer for, some rule I violated, and I did. And my grandfather said, when you get pulled over, you get out of the car and you admit your wrongdoing and you tell the officer to have a good day and keep your mouth shut. That's what my cop grandfather said. So I got out of the car. Now, this was 1980s, got big hair. This is 1980s. I got big hair. And I'm dressed to the nines because I was on the way to somewhere. And I got out of the car. And because it was a police officer, I immediately began to emulate my grandfather. And so the officer gave me a ticket. And then I had a court date. And then I missed the court date because of another commitment. And my house was being broken into. That was, you know, something else had come up. So when the court date came and I was late, I had other charges coming up. And I walked into the courtroom. Anytime I'm in the court or anytime I'm in with a uniform, my grandfather just automatically, everything my grandfather taught me comes back. And I walked in the courtroom and I stood the way my grandfather would have stood and I did all of this. And this is what I heard from the bench. The officer came up from behind me and he said, I can't even remember the questions that he asked me, but I answered them. And then he took my paperwork out of my hand and he gave it to the judge. It's like he cut the line completely. Now, I may have been cute, but I wasn't that damn cute, all right? So he cut the line completely and put me to the front, and he says, Judge, I'd like you to take a look at this. And he put that in front of the judge, and the judge says, does she meet all of the criteria for this program? And he says, Judge, I believe she does. And there wasn't anything else said. He gave me the paperwork back. The judge did his little thingy and his little signing and his little whatever he does. And he handed the information, the paperwork back to the officer. The officer walked me to a window and I paid $25 for court costs that day. Nothing else has ever showed on my record, ever, of that offense. There's another failure to appear. Who cares, right? Years ago. Years and years and years ago. Took care of that too. The odd thing was, is that nobody asked me any questions, and all I did was walk into the courtroom like my grandfather did. Now, I didn't walk like a guy, right? I had a dress on, but I walked the way he did. I held my hands the way he held them and my feet the way he held them. He says, this is the way we stand. And so I used to practice standing the way grandpa stood. What I did not know is I was signaling to everybody in the room that I was Mason. I had no idea. And just like that, everything went away. Now, it wasn't until much later that I even reflected back on this, because I just thought I got really lucky. Right. I thought I had a nice dress, whatever. I thought I got kind of that cute girl lucky thing. That had nothing to do with it. It had everything to do with the way I walked into the courtroom, the way I stood with my feet, and the way I held my hands. And I didn't find that out until 6 years ago. That's when I put those pieces of that puzzle together, when I learned about the standing and the hands and all that. My grandfather never showed me and told me. He didn't teach me on purpose. But I loved my hero grandfather, and I emulated him. And that ticket will never show up in the courts. It will never show up on anything. It never has. It never happened. And it was a serious, now that I remember, now it's all coming back. It's like, ooh, that was actually, I should have, gotten a little more than just a $25 court fee. But no questions were asked. Nothing was challenged. I was never made to raise my right hand. I was never made to do anything. Paperwork went from the officer to the courtroom, up to the judge, back to the officer, to the window. You have a nice day. And that was it. And it was later that I found out it was the power of entering as a Mason, although I didn't know it at the time. So when we ask ourselves, what's wrong with our court system? That gives me an inkling. When we ask about what's wrong with some of the things that are going on in the police force, why some of our good cops are threatened by our not so good cops, that's what I look to. And when I look at all of the landscape where all of the Freemasons might have, or the Masons, they're not even Freemasons anymore, they're all captive by their oath. I always think if injustice is being done or justice is not occurring, what's interfering with it? And what I've come to believe, and I may be wrong, but what I've come to believe through my own experience is that they serve their own justice or they don't at all. They have a completely different world. And so until we're able to educate our lodge member family members, our lodge family members, of the absolute dangers that await them if they stay in and stay silent, because their silence will not protect them. The longer we're going to have to fight this secret enemy in the dark. And I'm tired of the fighting the secret enemy in the dark. I want to pull all the light out and say, look, these are the bad guys. This is what they did. Boom, boom, boom. And we may not be there yet. What I have noticed on some of the indictments, I've noticed some of this. I don't know if any of you all in my listening audience have seen any of the paperwork of the indictments, mainly of George H.W. Bush. But it appears to me, pardon me while I get a drink, but it appears to me that the Masons are dealing out some of the justice to their own. I could be wrong, and I'm calling that out in the dark without any intel or backup. That's just me putting some dots together as possibilities. So I don't know that. Don't say Leander Grace says this and it's true, because Leander Grace only thinks this might be true. So let's not get that twisted. Well, folks, that's really what I've got to bring to you. It's just my experience in the lodge and working with it, and how serious they are about protecting each other. The key is the tongue. It hangs in the balance, and it shall never swing against its brother. And it's that oath of secrecy that stifles our justice system. It's that oath of secrecy that allows the deadbeats and the pedophiles and the child traffickers and the real psychopaths in, because they're all bound by the same oath. That's why Jack the Ripper never came to justice, although all of the Masons knew that he was a lodge member because of the clues that he was leaving behind. There's all kinds of symbols that they like to talk about. So this stuff doesn't go just back to Nimrod. Remember that they give homage with their Tubal Cain, which is an homage to Tubal Cain, son of Cain. So the Tubal Cain looks like a hockey stick with two round things on it. It also looks like Facebook. We don't know what's in front of us because we haven't been paying attention, and no nation should ever have to pay this close attention to secret society infiltration. Gmail looks very much like a Masonic apron. Google has its colors and its shapes. We need to pay attention. My grandfather used to tell me, I said, well, how can you tell whether a Mason built something or not? He says, by the way it's laid. Oh, that's all he said. And that's exactly the response that they're supposed to be given. But the Mason will stop at every shrine, and they have to be able to recognize it. By the way it's laid. We have Georgia Guidestones out in the middle of our nation. It has been properly vandalized. Very happy about that. I'll be glad to see it properly dismantled. The Georgia Guidestones was put up by the Masons, and you can tell. You say, well, how can you tell, Leander Grace? And I'm going to tell you by the way that it's laid. Back in 2014, was it 14 or 12? Somewhere in that Obama era, there was a gentleman that approached the Guidestones, and he went out and he took a cubed stone out and he broke it apart. Now, on that stone, I can't remember the numbers that were on it, but there was a J, B, and a M. So it's Jacques B. Demolay. So that was the Demolay stone that was coming out to be shattered. And Demolay, of course, is for the young kids, Jacques Demolay being a known pedophile himself. I'm just putting out what I know. How it's going to be applied and what people decide to do with it is up to them. There's not many Masons that are going to be able to tell you this information. I've never taken the oath. I have every right to talk about whatever it is that I want to. And their oath of familial protection does apply. So, you know, I'm kind of in the middle here. I hate the idea of secret societies. And I hate the fact that it is infiltrated. But I'll tell you what, in a very small way, I'm glad my grandfather got to where he went so that he could relay the information to me in a non-oath-breaking manner so that I can relay it to you. I never would have figured out the injustice of the justice system had I not known what I know, and really know it, not through rumors, about the Masons. Had I not experienced my own expungement, like magic, poof, it went away. It doesn't show up anywhere in my background check. And it wasn't that big a deal. You know, it was a traffic violation and then failure to appear. You know, without witnessing it firsthand, I would have probably not necessarily believed it. But 6 years ago, when somebody was telling me that this is what happens, I was like, oh my Lord, that's why it went away. That's why that occurred. So if we're wondering why the injustice is, that's why. If we're wondering why we can't get things done, that's why. If we're wondering why nobody tells on these child traffickers, pedophiles, and pimps, that's why. Because not every lodge member is my grandfather. Not everyone will initiate justice within the lodge, as it's supposed to be, for those who are actually buying into the goody-goodies that are being taught. And that's what my grandfather did. He bought into the goody-goodies that were being taught without seeing the underbelly of it. And when he saw the underbelly of it, he made an exit. No fanfare. He's too distinguished and too gentle of a giant for that. What I'm hoping to do in the broadcast is give you guys the vocabulary and the understanding to know why we can become in a holding pattern from time to time. We're dealing with a lot of different justice, a lot of injustice, and we're waiting for the veils to be revealed. The Masons will not talk about each other. They will not reveal each other's secrets. And this is the stalemate that we find ourselves in. Even those who are on the benches. You saw how easy, I told you how easy I just whipped through that court. I wasn't in there for 15 minutes. And there was a long line from the time I walked in to the time I walked out, 15 minutes tops. And it never made it into the system. And whatever was in the system was out. And you ask, have you done it since? No, it's only 6 years that I knew that that was what was going on and I haven't been in trouble. So no need to use that. Would I? No. Now I would intentionally stand as however I do. Because I do not want to partake in an injustice system. I should have gotten a big old fine. I should have been paying a lot of money. And I didn't. And that's why. So did I get justice? No, I did not. Justice was not served in my case. Am I glad? Yeah, kind of. But it doesn't make me happy now that I know why I got lucky. I mean, I'm not going to go back and, you know, throw myself on the unmercy of the court. I'm not going to try to make up for all that now. That's baloney. But it's something to think about. It taught me a lesson. I kept it with me. And now I know why it went away. Now I know why people don't come to justice. Now I know why people just disappear. It's not always the lodge, but that's something. It's something. And it's not going to go away unless we make it go away, people. The obelisk in D.C., that's Nimrod's penis right there. The owl that's all around it, the angles. D.C. was laid by the Masons. And you say, well, Leanna Grace, how can you tell? Like my grandfather said, by the way it was laid. We need to be aware of what's surrounding us. And I'm even going to go this far. I'm going to say, do we want to keep that in D.C. or do we want to make some adjustments? I came across another document that the Washington Monument didn't always look like that. It didn't always look like that. I'm wondering if we might be able to make a better one. Because to me, having an obelisk, which is nothing more than the imagery of Nimrod's penis, that of the great architect, in front of a mirroring pool showing the penetration of his power into our land, using the as above, as below spell. It's wicked. It's witchcraft. It's dark. It's Luciferian. And it is satanic. And I'm wondering if we as a people have the strength to look at our, not the statues. I'm not talking about, you know, going and ripping down statues. I'm talking about in a nice, good, orderly method, making the decision to destroy the wicked symbols in our capital. Because they were laid by Masons. And you can tell by the way that they're laid. We have cleaning up to do. It's not going to be, if we want to, we don't, I mean, shoot, we can just keep on the wicked ways if we want, but we have to make a decision of when we're going to take down those high places. And once again, we're going to bring it through a scriptural lens. Because remember, all of the kings, after they all messed up, what they did is they, from Solomon time on, they put up all these high places. They burn incense to false gods in the high places. And I'm wondering if we're still going to allow and suffer these high places to exist in the United States. I love my grandfather. I mean, he, you know, how big of a hero was he? Well, he's the one that took a great big bite out of Mount Rainier. That's why it scoops like that. It was his doing. That's my grandfather. But he did get mixed up in something ugly. And he got out before he was unduly affected. And he was able to tell me for no other reason than to tell you. It's dark, it's controlling, it's fascist, it's cult. And it's one great big, now it's come into one great big fraternity frat party with everybody helping each other up. And if you're not a member of the lodge, well, it sucks to be you. You can't walk through the courtroom in 15 minutes with nothing on your record. Sucks to be you. You're just one of those people. And that's exactly what it comes to. You're either in the lodge or you're not in the lodge. You're either one of us or you're not one of us. And remember, we talked about last week or last time was about the slavery, right? The reason slaves weren't allowed in the lodge, they didn't want slaveries in the lodges, was be, or people who were African, right? The African Americans, the Black Americans, was because they had a lineage of slavery. And the ones who enslaved them were the ones who created the lodge. So that's, it wasn't, had, didn't have to do with race. It had everything to do with the enslavement, as we said last time on the broadcast, was that, you know, the Mohammedans and all of that, the Chaldeans, overran and enslaved the Africans, and they sold them into the slave trade. And then they came here. So when Masonry came here, when the United States was founded, and Masonry and the Illuminati found its way in the roots of it before we rooted it out, couldn't root it out, they weren't going to have the same people with the lineage of the folks that they sold. And that's why they were excluded from the lodge for a very long time. Had nothing to do with race and had everything to do with standing and the fact that they were, had already captured them folks. Captured your ancestors. You don't need to come in the lodge. That was the thinking. The lodge, secret societies, secret oaths, the oaths that bind them together against our justice system. If they can ignore, because of their oaths, the horrendous acts of the likes of Jack the Ripper and other serial killers, it seems to me that they've bound themselves in darkness. And I would urge my listeners to urge their family members to look deeper into what the lodge really is. And I think that there's been an exodus from the lodge for a reason. I've known several Southern Baptist members who joined the lodge, thinking that it was just a fraternity like my grandfather to make good men better. And to a degree that occurs. But then there comes that specialness. You can't touch this-ness. And with that type of authority and self-importance comes corruption and all the rest of what we see. So our only thing that we need to do now, folks, is to decide if we want to let the lodge continue as it is, or if we want to call them out. We need to come to terms with it. We're not going to allow a secret Sharia law to arise in it. We have a constitution. Their oath supersedes the constitution. And in that regard, they become treasonous. And that is why I bring it to the program tonight. Any oath that supersedes the Constitution, and yet you're taking an oath to protect and defend the Constitution while you're under a separate oath, we need to take a look at that to decide if we want people serving in our Congress who have an allegiance elsewhere, because remember the scriptures tell us you can't serve two masters. You're going to hate one and despise the other, or you'll serve one and neglect the other. It's not how we are. So can we have these secret societies and secret oaths that bind them together and make the constitutional oath secondary? That's where the problem is. If it's just a matter of religion, that's one thing. But this is an oath that will supersede a loyalty to the Constitution. And in that, there becomes a problem. Injustice, justice, separate, equal, none of it works. You cannot have a society within a society and have a functional society. We already have subcultures, and that works. It makes us colorful. But my Mexican neighbor doesn't have an oath to his Mexican lineage that supersedes the Constitution. And my black neighbor down the way does not have an oath that secretly binds them to something other than the Constitution. And so that becomes my acid test for this. You know, is it contrary to the Constitution? And the answer must be yes. It must be yes. Barack Obama, on page 182 of his book, The Kenyan Who Sat as President, in his book, The Audacity of Hope, 182, he did make the statement that should the tides and the political winds change, he would definitely have his loyalties with the Mohammedans. He stated it in black and white, Audacity of Hope, page 182. That's the type of oath that we can't let sit in the White House again. That's the type of oath that interferes with our justice system. That's the type of oath. And it was premeditated that should the political winds change, he would go against the United States of America. He said it before he got into office. Documented before he got into office. How'd he get in? Was he really voted in? I'm beginning to wonder. So when we wonder why nobody is saying anything about anybody, why nobody will squeal in public, now we know. If they've taken the oath under pain of death, they won't. The tongue is the key. It hangs in the balance, and it shall not wag against your brother. And that's the bottom line of it. What we, as a society, as a nation, need to decide is how poisonous is this, and are we going to let the poison seep, continue to seep? Because the New World Order is flourishing under this oath. It's flourishing under this oath. The New World Order is nothing more than the Nazis over here. That's the Nazi order over here in the New World. And those who are aware are still bound to secrecy by their oaths. either by choice or by fear or by just belief. So if we have people that are bound together by an oath that supersedes their commitment to the Constitution, it's treasonous. Or there's got to be at least a legal thing for it. There's got to be something. Treason, traitor, that's treason. It's repugnant to the Constitution. So we have our work cut out for us, people. And it's not an easy job. But but like anything else, it doesn't start at the top. It doesn't start at the national level. This has got to start at home, in the churches, in the communities, to spread the word. I got three big old lodges in the town I'm at. They're everywhere. The building's at 51 degrees. One built one way, one built another, and together they make the mathematical constant of. And so it's laid Masonically. How do you know? By the way that it's laid. We need to pay attention. The plans that are in front of us, the diabolical ones, they're Masonic. And how do I know? By the way that they're laid in secret. And nobody says anything. What is it JFK said? No secret is revealed. No, yeah, all of that. They don't tell on each other. No secret is revealed. This seems to be a major problem in our national justice system. It's not just that people are bad, because I believe there could be a very good judge on the oath, but his oath to the lodge and his fear of being killed by his lodge brothers, and there's several different ways. There's gutting. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that they have. It depends on what level that you are, which you know, horrible things can occur to you. What I will recommend to you guys is there's a video. There's a gentleman that I'm going to have to go ahead and look at it and then put it in the write-up when we put this on a podcast. There's a gentleman, Mr. Schneeblin, of all names. That's a really weird name. But anyway, he speaks about all this and gives a lot of information. I'm going to go ahead and go through his stuff again and see if I can't pick some of that stuff out for you, or at least give you the link. But, you know, we need to be aware of what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people who are afraid for their lives and are loyal to their oaths to death. This is, they don't, that it's like a Freemasonry mafia kind of thing, right? We have to be aware of who they are and what the lengths that those are in the lodge are willing to go. Those who are of the diabolical plan, not those who are the common members, right? For the ones who are the common members, we need to talk to them and let them know what's going on in the lodge. It's that oath that binds them, like the fallen ones at Mount Hermon. They are bound by as children of Cain, under their oaths. And you can go to church all day long and go to the lodge on Monday, and your oath as a child of Cain is what stands, because God says, have no other gods before me. And if you're going to the lodge, you're all about Tubal Cain, whether you know it or not. You are doing Nimrod worship, which is nothing more than the false sun god Baal. That is who they call their great architect, as put out by my grandfather, the librarian, before he was the most worshipful grandmaster of the state of Washington. And it was by his hand that I read some years later the confirmation of this. And it was a few years after that that he stepped out, or a year after that he stepped out. So not every person in the lodge is evil and diabolical. Some of them are just good people trying to do the right thing, thinking it's all mystical and wonderful and puzzles to be solved. And when they get down to it, it's not. It's a trap. And for those who don't pull out and go to the point of disability and inability to care for themselves, they have one place in Redondo, Washington. It's called the Zenith Home, or I don't know if it's still there, if it's not. And it's a retirement community for Masons. And it's highly regimented. And they'll take care of you for the rest of your life there. Three hots, a cot, the whole nine yards. All you have to do is give them everything you own. That's all. And some do. And some don't. So it's deeper than we know. Their oaths are more dear to them than the constitutional oath. And they think that they're going to win. And those who are in the church, you know, there's a saying in some of the recovery programs, you know, I've had the privilege of witnessing, you know, they talk about a power greater than themselves. Okay. Well, for most of us, we call that God. And in the lodge, the only thing you have to believe is that there is a God, a power, a God. You don't have to name it. You don't have to say which one it is. You just have to admit or you know, acknowledge that there is a God. The Muslims call him Allah. The Christians call him God. The Jew, yes, and there's Hebrew lodges too. Take that where you will. So that's the program for this evening, guys. Let's open up the phone lines for a minute. If you guys want to call in, Joseph, Marion, Pink Duck, I'm a Somro. Don't know what your name is, but I am. I'm going to call you Iam. If any of you guys want to call in and push that little button, we'll go on for a little while. If you feel so moved, we can talk live. If you have questions, if you have answers, have something to add to it. I'm not going to go to another break. I am just going to keep going and probably give you guys a few minutes to see if you want to call in. Other than that, we'll be bringing it to a close. I do want to talk about what we're going to talk about Friday. Friday on the program, you know, the one thing, scriptures and scuttlebutts. We'll get Skittles in there too, probably during the broadcast. With scriptures and scuttlebutts, we're going to keep talking about sin. We've been talking about it for 2 weeks now. This is the third week. Third week's a charm. And we're going to talk about how wickedness propagates. And we're going to ask the question, is there a difference between sin and wickedness? Oh, that's a question we don't often ask. Is there a difference between sin and wickedness? We're going to talk about how wickedness propagates. We're going to talk about how the adversary's in, right? How does the adversary get in? How does he get that foot in the door, right? To give us a hassle or to make things go mayhem and, you know, give us an upset stomach and need the Pepto-Bismol. And how does wickedness propagate? And what did God say about wickedness propagating? And is he going to let it? And why would he? So we're going to have a pretty full broadcast on Friday about sin. We're going to talk about the ego, too. That's one of my specialty areas, is learning the ego, talking about the ego and how the ego works hand-in-hand adversarial to give that adversary the in, right? So we'll talk about that a little bit. Welcome you guys to the broadcast on Friday for Scriptures and Scuttlebutts. It'll be 8 p.m. as well. I don't have any little buttons coming up here for anybody calling in, so I think we'll go ahead and be bringing this to a close for the evening. I hope you did find value in the broadcast or the podcast, pod people. We still love you too. And for those of you listening remotely, we don't know who you are, but we know that you are and glad that you're here with us. Now, usually what I do, we have the numbers for the live broadcast, and then I go ahead and I turn it into a podcast, and we have more numbers for that. And that's why the numbers are kind of tripled and all that. But I want you guys to know that we are seeing an increase in the percentages. And I want to thank you for the continued growth of that. Spread the word. And if you can't spread the podcast, at least spread the word, you know, and all of that, and get the word out. The Masons, it's like a whole building. One of the teachings I did want to bring into one of the teachings of the Masons is that the stones are alive. They really do believe that they are able to imbue the stones with life, which, of course, we know in Jeremiah, he says that they don't have a breath. They don't neither breathe nor see nor can help themselves. So we need to know what we're looking at. We need to know that we don't need to know the teachings, but we do need to learn how to talk about it to those that we care about that are in the lodge. And it's not going to be any different than trying to talk to a self-righteous Christian about something that they might need to correct as well. They're people. We're all the same. We all get self-righteous about ourselves and indignant when we're challenged on things, right? We react that way from time to time. Hopefully not for long, but we can have a reaction like that. So be gentle with each other. If you, you know, if you approach a loved one, especially an elder, be respectful. Because you're challenging your elder's knowledge base. And if you're wanting to know how to go about doing that, I suggest the book of Job. And at the very end, when Elihu finally got, you know, tired of hearing all the old geezers talk nonsense, he stood up and goes, look, you know, I'm younger than y'all and I know it, but I got something to say. So show the respect to your elders. But if you need to warn them and let them know what it is that they're mixed up in. I am your host, Leanna Grace. It's been a pleasure to bring you the broadcast this evening. Didn't know how it was going to turn out. Had a little bit of a rocky, you know, I got to share with you guys. Every evening, I've shared this with the mother. I was speaking to a patriot earlier this evening, a Christian patriot earlier this evening. And I told him, I said, you know, every time I get on the air about 30 minutes before we get a broadcast, I come up with 100 different excuses why I'm not going to do it. And then I end up doing it and we end up talking and having a good time and visiting just like we're old friends, right? Joseph, Miriam, Pink Duck, and I am. So I want to thank you guys for holding out and being there with me, because this is a touchy topic for me. We're talking about my grandfather, who was a hero and a member of the lodge, but he was an honorable man. And I learned much from him. Wasn't perfect, but he was an honorable man. And I learned much from him. And that's what we've got. Until I see you all on Friday night, I didn't have any headlines tonight. None of them were important. But until I see you guys on Friday night, see you metaphorically, of course, because you're only going to hear me. I'm only going to hear you. I am wishing you, as always, a very wonderful evening, and reminding you to, as always, to watch for the signposts, to connect these dots, to find your path, to live in love, and do something good, as together we learn to forgive. Hold the line, keep the faith, and by all means, trust that plan. Until Friday night. Good night. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's time for Leanna Grace Out Loud, because your silence